Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Organic Nation Listening Club. Let's do this thing. Welcome to the Organic Nation Listening Club. Let's do this thing. Wow. Good morning, everyone. We're back. Well, I'm back anyway. I think David came back last week. Love that song, David. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Hummingbird. You know, good to have you back. You know, last week was a good test.
Yeah, man, I know, right? But it's a great rainy morning here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So what is anything better to do besides sleep is get on there and talk on the radio with you. So I love that song. You want to give me the name?
At the same time.
Is it?
It's raining here, so I guess that's a good connection. Yeah, the song is called Garage. I'm from Los Angeles, so... We did most of our music, you know, we didn't put cars in the garage. It was always like musicians and or pool tables or ping pong.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, I like that. I like how you arranged it. I really did. Cool song. It had been a while. So you've gotten a couple of CDs finished since we last talked, right? And I don't know exactly what happened last week, so if you weren't able to expound on your two CDs that's out there with my wonderful face on them, I'd like for you to tell everybody about this is off which CD?
Well, this off the Organic Nation Listening Club, which you introduced the record and everything, and it's so the Organic Nation Listening Club is a great album. I'm sorry, everybody out there. The introduction that you heard Tommy Bird do was from the Organic Nation Listening Club, but this is from the Best of the Organic Notes. And it's a compilation from 1999 to 2009, and Garage is a part of that. It's a great album, and now I'm working on the third one, which is exciting because I just finished two tracks, and I'm excited about that. So,
well, see, that's great. That's good. See, I wanted to be able to ask some questions about some of the songs that's on there. But I really like Garage because of how it was arranged, and you had those odd instruments that would pop up and make different sounds. But it was really a cool, I call it my riding jazz. When I go out of town and I'm on the road, I like to have a jazz piece that's upbeat and moving, and that one is flowing. I like that one. I really just like that one.
Yeah, you know, the greatest thing on that album, I mean, on that piece, is I come from with Don Cherry and Arnett Coleman, but Don had this band called Cardona, and which all those cats is gone. Colin Wolcott, and which was CO, and then Don was DO, and then Nana was NA. So Cardona, but Nana was one of the world's greatest berimbau players from Brazil, and berimbau is like almost like a bow and arrow, the bow, and then you take a stone and then he hit it with a stick, and that's from that culture, and you get those two or three notes, and that's what you heard in there is the berimbau. Which is when you see the master, anybody out there, you can go to YouTube and see Nana Vasconcelos. He was the master of the berimbau. So that was a tribute to them too, also.
But you know, you are the master of using instruments that we as Americans are not familiar with, and use them in such a way that you incorporated within the jazz to make it almost a common instrument to where you seek to see what it is, but you mix it in there like it's supposed to have been there the whole time, because I wouldn't have been used to hearing that odd sound. I would think it was some, you know, trick of the electronic.
No,
but
it's an
actual instrument.
Brilliant.
You know what I'm saying? So
no, it's
cool.
A brilliant.
Like
when
that.
You see a master play it, you'll be up there. And, I mean, just by himself, because I seen him in, we was in Europe, and just by himself, he was still a crowd, just by himself playing this bow with a stick and a stone on this instrument, and it would blow everybody away, which is very interesting how, I don't know, music is sound. So, but I had a question to ask you.
Sure.
And then we can we're going to move on to something else, because I know you got some stuff to say, but this is my question to ask you, because I found something that you said, having someone who handles all your moves is a blessing.
Right.
Can you expound on that?
It is. Anytime you can get anybody that can handle the more than one you, because it's always more than one you. Everybody has a representative. Everybody has a place where they reserve to protect themselves. That's a different person than who they are themselves. So when you put all those pieces together, that's who they are. So even their representative at some point in their life is that person. People say, well, when I met you, you wasn't the same. Nobody is going to ever be the same. We're always ever changing, sometimes to the good, sometimes to the bad, but we're always ever changing. Anybody that stays the same year in and year out and not try to change something about them lives, about their lives or what they're going to do. Did I say them life? I did. about their lives.
But that's an interesting thing, because you know, because moods are, you can just go into studying moods, and people with lifestyle and everything, there's so many moods that you can get in because of where you at or what's happening in your life and stuff. So we can get kind of moody.
And menopause, and you gotta understand.
Uh-huh.
We are women, and women will have a lot more moods because we are much more emotional than men, number one. Some men, because I've met some men that's pretty emotional, but we're much more emotional normally. Number two, we go through a body change. If you're a woman over 45, up in the 50s, 60s, we're going through a body change, so our moods also change. With menopause, now I can't blame everything on menopause. Some of it is just foolopause. It's just a dang fool. But some of it is something to do with what the chemistry in you, within your body when it comes to women. So I think y'all have menopause too, but I think it's called something else. I just got to figure out the word.
Well,
that's a good question.
That's a good question.
Ain't no question.
Oh, no.
That's a statement.
No, that's a good answer. I don't know. Make it real there. We always in trouble when hummingbirds come in because, you know, it's men.
Yeah, I call it womanopause. Something over there you men go through.
You're so silly.
I am when I need to be, because sometimes you got to look at the world silly so you can digest it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're bad.
The world gets you and trip you up and make you feel a little stupid. So I embrace it.
So, you know, you asked me to play this Marion Meadows piece.
I love him.
So let's go to some Marion and then come back. And Hummingbird is about to really hit our heads. So get into all the time, you know, never that you don't hit your head. So here we go. We're going to get back to some music and come back to talk about some issues that Hummingbird wanted to talk about, and it's going to be beautiful. So you are listening to the Organic Nation Listening Club with Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry, and here we go.
I love Myron Meadows. I love him.
Yeah.
I love
Detroit.
Him. He is.
Secrets, right?
Secrets, that's it. And I just love
that's
it.
That's a good title. Secrets.
I know, right? I love him. I just love the mood he puts me in. I just went through Spotify, and I was doing Pandora, but I like Spotify because I can pull down the entire record album collections and pick all of my songs that I want off of each album and make my own radio station. And some of, you know, so I really found out a lot of songs that I didn't even know he did and different ways that he had performed those songs. It was really, really eye-opening, and I just love me some Myron Meadows. So I like sax and piano, you know that. So, you know, I'm into that. And that's another flowing song that when you're driving, it keeps you in that mood to keep driving. And you know how I like to move around, hence the word hummingbird.
You're a hummingbird. So, you move yeah. very fast and swiftly.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you move so fast, you may burn something.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I was thinking.
You think you're slow, but you're moving fast, you know. But we're not going to talk about that.
You know,
no,
I thought about that subject. When you were saying that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know.
What is the thought of the day? I really don't have a thought of the day.
No, I mean,
Jerry,
I'm saying,
really
you know,
don't.
What you... But there were some issues that you were talking about that I talked to you about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we were talking about the guy that was finally got convicted of murdering a white police officer in Texas. Finally got convicted of murdering a black young unarmed man. Young. He was a teenager. And he shot into the car. And I was glad that they finally convicted one. They gave him 15 years, you know, 5 to 15, I think is how they have placed it. So he can actually do only 5. But I'm hoping that the parents and the community leaders, every time he come up for parole, be at the parole board. Because of the fact that merely if you take that blue off this man, he's just a white man that killed a young black man. So let's stop looking at what he's wearing. That blue don't make him right. I'm looking at this in the eyes of I don't care what color their skin is, if they shoot an unarmed person on purpose, they need to spend some time in hell, and that's jail. So I'm all for prison. And I'm sure he's going to be in protective custody, so his time is going to be easy hard, because it's hard being by yourself 24/7, 365 days a year where you can't talk to nobody. You get a little crazy. So, but you won't be under the same subjective problem that it had a black man shot a white man and put in regular population, and you dealing with all these different types of attitudes, and you dealing with men that will never see the light of day, so they don't really give a shit about you being in there for only a certain length of time and trying to go home. They ain't going to never go home. So that becomes an issue all on its own. You get what I'm saying? So he won't be put in that type of population, I bet. He's going to be probably segregated from that population because he was a cop. But I think they should spend some time in the real hell, in the pit of hell, not just hell, but in the pit, down there where everybody else gets a mix, and you fight your way out like everybody else if that's what you got to do. You know, because at the end of the day, you just a man just like everybody else. And you should spend the same time that regular man. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't want to hear that crap about you was afraid. No, not at all. Well, didn't you? No. Mm-mm. Because the kids was kids, and they were leaving a party, and they were driving away. So no, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. And then your own body cam tells on your stupid ass. See, that's what I don't understand. You taping your ass fucking up, but you figure your skin color and your and the fact that you're a cop in every other state that got away from choking a man to death on film, shooting a man in his back and throwing a gun next to his body on film, you know, they've gotten away with all of that because the grand jury looks more like the perpetrator than the victim. So they don't get, or you get some one or two of us that may look like the victim, but they inside is like the perpetrator. Because I've talked to those people. So, you know, I'm just glad to see that maybe, yes, maybe, we will start seeing more of this kind of justice where these people are really getting justice. You're killing kids and unarmed men because you are scared. That's because of the color of their skin, and you are afraid of them just because of your imagination in your mind about how they are. You don't even know that man, but your imagination has prompted you to kill him. So, no. So I think he needs to be put in the pit of hell.
But then you mentioned that it was like on the other side. You mentioned when we talked about how black men just took that kind of under that white thing shooting black
well,
people.
It's another one. That's what I was telling you.
You
it's another cop.
Like
whether black or white.
Kinda,
yeah,
I know. I'm,
it was
I'm
another.
Saying, but you mentioned something
yeah,
about that the other day, and that was very interesting how you put it. And that say, how do black men kill black men? Because in, under that situation and everything, because of the,
well,
you know, they.
My
I don't know
is,
what you were trying to say.
How does I remember I said I don't understand how a black cop can stand next to a white cop and watch him kill a black man because. Once he gets out of that dang blue suit, that cop or that badge, once he takes off his clothes and put on the civilian clothes, he looks just like that black man that they just killed. So you going from one extreme to the other. So if you go somewhere else and somebody mistake you as one of those niggas, because that's what they really think it is, and you're a low-life black whatever, and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm a cop. Well, you're a cop here, but they don't know you're there. All they see is your skin. They should think. They should think. Well, maybe, and then, you know, it's twofold. I don't want to jam every cop because I have met, and I'm being very serious, I told you myself and I told everybody, I've met a set of cops and a city that most people would think would be racist because the city is really, really, the majority of it is white because of the affluency it has in that area is Plano that I go every day. But I have met the nicest police officers and the nicest judges and the nicest everything. I hate to say I met the judges, y'all, so you know that mean I was in there. So, but I've met, and all of these are Caucasian people. I've met these people. And they have been not judgmental when they could be. The police officers are understanding, not rude, because I live in a city that's almost black, you know, Arlington. Like we have the worst police officers here you would ever want to see in your life. I'm serious. We do. They are horrible with the treatment of when they stop and talk to you and how they treat you. Difference between the black. And the whites, and I don't understand. I think it's just because the crime ain't as bad over in Plano. So they stretched out over here. Cause they
I believe that. I believe that.
You know what I'm saying? So Plano don't have a crime that they got over here.
But if you had a last statement winding down, what would you say?
If you are a police officer, black or white, take yourself out of your own shoes and put yourself in that party shoes that you're about to shoot. I don't care how angry you are. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. And now that we put one in jail, maybe we'll put this black man that's in jail that shot this other black man in the back, and he was a cop. So my last word is justice for all.
What?
So he needs to burn,
wow,
too.
I agree with you on that one.
He needs to burn, too.
That's a good last statement. On the Organic Nation Listening Club. This is Ami Bird, David Arnett Cherry, and this is what we do. And we'll come back next week. We in our fall session, and we're going to get back to some music, and we like to let it linger a little bit. And then we come back, and we're going to hit you harder. Ami Bird will. You know, I'm learning from her. Here we go with some music. Thank you, Ami Bird.
Oh, you're welcome, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much. And here we're going to go. I'm going to go to some of the music. And this is one of the pieces.
Okay.
Amorous.
You know, I just happened to have just heard that, and I fell in love with it. And it kind of put me in the phrase of smooth jazz and you.
Okay, well, here we're going to go with the music, and we're going to come back next week. And stay tuned, and more to come.
More.
A peace be on to everybody. Have a beautiful weekend, and God is good. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Okay, peace in.
Welcome to the Organic Nation Listening Club. Let's do this thing.